Ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book? Are you simply not sure where to start? Have you been searching down the internet rabbit hole for a self-publishing resource worth your time? Your search ends here, my friend. Let's walk the publishing path together and bring your book to life with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I'm here to coach thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to successfully self-publish your book while avoiding common pitfalls. I'm Lana Liquidy-Smarges, chief ghostwriter, editor, and founder of Unicorn Publishing Company, and have stood by the sides of many professionals just like you to walk them through the publishing process and successfully launching their book. Every industry pioneer faces the same daunting challenges: how to convert your hard-earned wisdom into a book that builds legacy with a voice that reflects your personal and professional brand. Join me each week to acquire practical wisdom and proven strategies and find out what the traditional publishing companies simply don't want you to know. Let's work together to tell your story with a book. This is more than just a podcast. It's your roadmap to becoming a published author. Get ready to write your blueprint for book publishing success with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. Hi, friends and fellow future authors. This is Lynn Aliquity-Smarges. I am the ghostwriter at Unicorn Publishing Company and book editor, and I'm glad to bring you this podcast, another episode of Publishing for Professionals. Today is episode 15, and today the topic is going to be the psychology of thought leadership, why publishing matters. And this is really interesting because a lot of people, they're out there that are thought leaders. A bunch of them don't have books, right? And that's a really easy way to distinguish yourself as a thought leader is to have a book. But before we jump into today's episode, I want to remind you just to make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you're at, because I have a special gift coming up for people who are going to join the Publishing for Professionals community. And I'll tell you about that at the end of the episode. So today we're going to talk about, again, the psychology of thought leadership, why publishing matters. And we're going to explore the psychological aspects of thought leadership and why publishing is such a critical component of thought leadership. And we're going to talk about the key insights that you're going to get today is influence. We're going to talk about credibility and professional growth. Well, let's talk about the first part here is defining thought leadership. Okay, so what is thought leadership and what constitutes genuine thought leadership versus self-promotion? So self-promotion is basically you're out there saying, this is what I have and this is what I offer, right? So self-promotion for me would be like, I'm a ghostwriter, I'm a book editor, I can help you self-publish your book. But my thought leadership is, this is the best way to self-publish your book. This is how you can get your book self-published in 90 days or less. This is the most effective and efficient way to write and publish your book. Okay. Those are thought leadership topics. The services that you offer and telling people about them, that's self-promotion. Okay. So self-promotion just means you're talking about yourself and what you offer and what you can do. But thought leadership is saying how you distinguish yourself from everybody else. Okay. So I distinguish my publishing company from all the other ones because I've seen how creatives get taken by hybrid publishing and especially traditional publishers. Okay. How they spend lots and lots of money in all these programs and they don't come out with a good published book because the program isn't well built or it isn't well written. So my thought leadership aspect is I am a publishing company that helps people, works with people, walks them through self-publishing your book, saving you a bunch of time and money and effort. And you're on the right path. So you skip over all of those, all of those pitfalls that people commonly come across when they're self-publishing their book. So that's the difference. The psychological impact of being perceived as an authority in your field is huge. Okay. And you can see that no matter where you go, like there's no matter what field, no matter what, if it's, spiritual, health and wellness, business, no matter what vertical you're in, you can see who is perceived as an authority in their field. And how can you see that? Well, number one, the easiest way is to see how many followers they have, right? And also to go on there and see what is it that they're talking about. Usually it's some niche topic. Like for instance, one of the YouTube channels I follow, the Jen Hardy channel, and she does a lot of like interviews of judges and things like that. She does kind of like, it's not true crime, but she does judges and talks about like crime and interviews like prisoners and things like that. So that's really interesting. Another one I followed that I really love is called Master Sri Arkasana. And he talks about manifesting things. Okay. And specifically like how you can manifest things in your life and the difference between people generally misbelieve and what is actually, the truth about manifesting things in your life. That's really important. Okay. So what are they talking about? How many followers do they have? More importantly, how engaged are those followers? Okay. So if you see like a video that has 1,000 likes, but no one's commented on it, then people aren't really engaged in that video or that topic. Okay. So if you see them, but they have a lot of high engagement and there's people are writing comments on it left and right, then look at that video. Why do you think that person's being a thought leader and having so many comments on their video?
how the brain processes information from perceived experts differently. If you perceive somebody as an expert, they automatically have your trust. And automatically having your trust means you're going to believe what they say. And so that's really important, because if you're not perceived as a thought leader, people won't automatically or be more inclined to believe what you say. You need to be positioned as a thought leader. And having a book is one of those ways to be positioned as a thought leader. Because you can say, oh, I write this book on XYZ subject and blah, 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 blah. And you'll find my thoughts in here. Okay. So that's a great way to be perceived as a thought leader. This part, we're going to talk about the trust equation. Okay. We briefly touched on this in the last section, but we're going to talk about the breakdown of trust components. Okay. First, there's credibility. So there's four of them: credibility, reliability, intimacy, and self-orientation. So credibility is one. How trustworthy is this person? Is what they're saying believable? I mean, there's people out there saying all sorts of things, but is what this person is saying, is their message believable? Does it make sense? Does it also, you know, check out with other things other people are saying? If this person's an outlier and they're saying some completely different message than everybody else's in their vertical, then maybe that's not so trustworthy, right? So you need to see what they're saying, how they're saying it, and if it's believable. And also, obviously, always double check with a legitimate resource. You want to make sure that the resource you're checking with is legitimate and it has good data behind it. Okay, the next breakdown of trust components is reliability. Is this person going to be showing up on their podcast platform, on their YouTube channel, wherever it is they do their podcast? Is this person going to show up consistently? Is this person going to be answering messages? Okay. Or are they having their VA answering messages? Okay. One of the things I always do is I personally answer all of my emails and social media messages. I don't have my VA do that. I have her do a lot of other things, but that's not one of the things I have my VA do. Okay. I write my own emails. I respond to all my own messages. Okay. That's showing up and that's being reliable for my listeners. Okay. Intimacy. Is this person connecting with you? When you're hearing their voice, when you're hearing my voice, am I connecting with you? I would love to know. Please let me know by going to my website, writeforyou.me, and sending me a message. Am I connecting with you? If not, what could I connect with you better on? I would love to know. Okay, so that's intimacy, how you're connecting with people. Next one we're going to talk about is self-orientation, right? How does that person position themselves relative to other people, okay? How is their personal brand and how is their personal, you know, their personality and, you know, accentuating their brand, their business brand? I have a very like bubbly and energetic personality, and my publishing company is Unicorn Publishing Company. So I play into that because I love magic and I love all things magic and like exciting and insightful things and all the things about, you know, energy and manifesting things. So that all plays in, all these personal things play into my business brand, which is Unicorn Publishing Company, which is, you know, helping people work. I work with people to magically self-publish their books in 90 days or less. You know, it's almost like magic. All of these things: credibility, reliability, intimacy, and self-orientation. Publishing strengthens each of those elements of trust because, one, to make a published book takes a lot of work and effort, right? So you know if someone is publishing a book, they are reliable. It makes you look credible, even if the information in that book isn't always accurate, but it makes you look credible because you've put all this time and effort into it. And at a minimum, you believe that this is true. So if you're publishing it, then that's a minimum credibility, right? You have published this book and you are showing it to the world. So that has some minimal level of credibility to it, just publishing the book. The content inside it is a whole nother level of credibility. The psychological principle of mere exposure effect and how consistent publishing leverages it. So consistent publishing, like if you're publishing your book or if you publish one book, right? And then you take that content and repurpose it into Substack or Medium articles or articles on your blog or wherever that is. That's really important because you're showing up and you're exposing yourself to people all over the place with your message, okay? And it takes now 10 to 12 times for people to kind of reach out to you or really get your message. That's really important because you need to know that when you're putting out content. How many times a week does that person have to see it? How many times a week do you need to put out that content for it? So you need to expose people to your content. You don't have to publish multiple books, but you can use your book chapters and repurpose them into content to help with your exposure effect. An interview clip or quote is a great way to repurpose your material, especially if you're doing video or even if you're doing audio. You can repurpose a quote on an audio file, right, and make it a video. So there's lots of different ways to do that. So let's talk about the next topic, which is cognitive biases at work. Okay, so what is a cognitive bias? So a cognitive bias is something that we inherently trust or something we inherently don't trust. For example, authority bias, okay? Why do we inherently trust published authors more? Why is that? Because we can see they're publishing multiple books. And if they're publishing multiple books, that means they must have something right going on. And that's what we think. Even if that published author isn't a great author, but they're publishing multiple books, we first think, oh, they must be a famous author because they published more than one book, or they must be a good author because they published more than one book. So that's something to take into account. Another thing is social proof, how publishing creates a snowball effect of credibility. Okay, so you see all these people following this author, you see them commenting on their streams or feeds, and you know that is definitely social proof. The halo effect, how expertise in one area demonstrated through publishing extends to perception of overall competence. So for example, I'm a published author, but I'm also a podcaster. So if you like my podcast, you may think, she might be a good author. And conversely, if you have found me through one of my books, you can say, oh, I liked her book. Maybe Lynn Aliquidi has a great podcast. That trust can transform over into different platforms. So if somebody is on your email list and you say, hey, this is my Substack, come and follow me, and they love reading your email list, chances are they're going to love reading your Substack. So they're going to follow you there. I recently did that, a few months ago with my Substack, and I have half of my people that I invited come over to my Substack, and now I'm getting some independent people following my Substack as well. So definitely check that out. Practical ways professionals can ethically leverage these biases. Of course, always be genuine and authentic. You know, don't go ungenuine or unauthentic in your talking about different leveraging these platforms. Okay, be honest. And I always just tell people, be honest in your content is great. You have to do that in order to establish a reputation that people are going to believe. And be consistent in your message, right? Don't go around saying like one message one day and then 2 weeks later completely change your message. Now, tweaking it a bit is one thing, but you want to make sure you have the same message, especially if you're doing book marketing. All right, my friends, we're going to take a break right here. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some more different ways you can exercise the psychology of thought leadership and why publishing matters in these. Hey friends and future authors, I know what it's like to sit alone at your desk and to stare at your manuscript and wondering if anybody else out there feels the same as you do. My friend, that is why I created the Publishing for Professionals community, a sanctuary for leaders like you who are crafting books to elevate your thought leadership. Imagine having a professional ecosystem where you can find other professionals who truly understand your struggles and celebrate your victories. A circle which offers genuine support and a place where fellow thought leaders gather. The road to authorship is better traveled together. Come and join an alliance who speaks your language, who recognizes that your book isn't simply just a page with words. It's the process of creating your forever legacy. Join the Publishing for Professionals circle at www.writeforyou.me and click on community. Use the sign-up form and register today to gain confidence alongside others who now share your journey towards authorship.
Hi, Lynn Aliquidi, back for part two of the Publishing for Professionals. We are talking about the psychology of thought leadership, why publishing matters. So psychological benefits for the author are imposter syndrome reduction. Okay, so when you publish, unless you don't sell any books, which I've only heard one author do that, but he didn't want to sell any books, so that was fine for him. But once you publish, now you can start to feel better about getting past the imposter syndrome. And if you don't know what that is, a lot of us have experienced it. It's basically like where you feel like you're not good enough to be an author. You're not good enough to be that podcaster. You're not good enough to have a YouTube channel because no one's going to listen to what you're going to say. If you are an expert in your field and you know you have years experience behind you, definitely jump on that bandwagon you are not an imposter if you have experience and knowledge and information to share with people. A lot of people, you would be surprised how many people are on step one of whatever the expertise is that you have. If you have step 5, 6, or 7, you're 6 steps ahead of the other people. So keep that in mind. Cognitive clarity gained through the writing publishing process is enormous. All of my clients say this. They say, oh my gosh, the more I write, the more better ideas I have. The more better ideas I have, the more I can fill in the blank. The more you write, the more of the old information you get out of your head and the new information starts coming in, which is really good because then you can get some more writing and publishing in, you get more ideas, you get new ideas, which is really the benefit from writing. Identity reinforcement, how becoming an author changes your self-perception. I cannot tell you how many times I have given somebody a signed copy of my book and the look on their, they literally the look on their face. Their face lights up and they're like, oh my gosh, you're giving me a copy of your book. Like, it's so exciting for them. And a lot of times they'll text the picture and send it to a friend and the friend will go and buy it online. It's really, really, really a powerful position to be an author or say, I'm an author, this is my book, and sign a book and give it to that copy. That connection with that person is incredible. You have just made a connection with a person that very few people can make by signing a copy of your book and giving it to somebody. Or if even if they're buying it and you're signing it, right? It's so exciting to sign, get a signed book from an author. I mean, if you have ever received a signed book from an author, think about how you felt. And think about the flip of that, right? How is that person going to feel when they get a signed copy of your book? The unexpected psychological rewards reported by first-time authors, there's so many of them. There's a lot, way too many to list just in one episode. But I know some of my own personal ones are just a sense of satisfaction and achievement, being an authority in the field, people having a level of respect for you because you have published a book. So in my book, The Guide to Traveling Gluten-Free, I used to go to gluten-free trade shows to promote the book and sell it. And people come up and be like, oh my gosh, this is from your experience. Like, you had all these experiences you wrote in this book. You didn't just go on a bunch of blogs and like take the information off of it. And I'm like, no, this is all from personal experience I had. And immediately they would buy my book. To know that you're sharing that personal information with them, that experience, that advice, that professionalism is really what people are looking for, right? They're looking for that professional base and connection. Okay, next section, we're going to talk about the reader's psychology. Okay, why readers seek thought leadership content, which is what we just said, right? People are looking for that shortcut. They don't want to have to go through all of the muddle to get from A to B. I mean, I know I don't, right? So that's why I buy some books, is that I want to figure out, hey, how do I get from A to B faster or better or more efficiently? Hey, we're all going to make mistakes going from A to B, but we don't want to make the same mistakes the author made. So that's one of the great ways to figure out, hey, what's this mistake this author made? How can I avoid that? And that's going to save me time, effort, money, and stress, right? That's one of the reasons why people seek thought leadership content. It's also because if they trust you and they know you from other platforms, they're going to say, oh, I know this person. I'm going to buy their book. I really love their YouTube channel. I really love their podcast. Their book is going to be more of the same, right? Because they're going to be writing about the topic they have most likely on their YouTube channel or their podcast channel. Information consumption patterns have evolved in the digital age, and this is huge. So one of the big things that have evolved in the digital age is more people will buy an ebook than a paperback, which is kind of blows my mind as a published author, because I, as much as I love digital productivity, and I mean, I have a whole bunch of Apple stuff. I've got my Mac computer. I've got my iPhone. I have my iPad. I have them all synced together. I love using computer productivity for wherever I can. However, when it comes to certain things like ideation and things, I like to have a pen and paper. And when it comes to reading, I love physical paper. I do not like reading on a Kindle or an e-reader. I mean, I definitely read digital content online, like news stories and videos, but I don't typically read books. Actually, I don't read books as an ebook. I will only read them as a print book. So that's a really big distinguishment for myself, right? So that's one of the ways that it's changed. Because before, when I was a kid growing up, there were no ebooks. You just went to the bookstore and bought a book, or you went to the library and checked out a book. There were no audiobooks. There are audiobooks, but they were on 8-track or cassette tape. And you had to buy this huge binder of cassette tapes to get audiobooks, which was crazy. I mean, you spent a lot of money on those too. They were not cheap because they were physical cassette tapes. And if you are before the age of physical cassette tapes, those are the little, they kind of like credit card size tapes where you would make mixtapes on in the 80s. As a kid, I did that. And then before that, they had 8-tracks, which are probably the size of a large piece of bread. And they would audio record things for you. But you had to buy, that was the first audiobooks, is you would bought like these huge boxes of cassettes that were ginormous. And you'd have to carry them around with you everywhere. It was not audio. Yeah, how people consume content is so different nowadays, right? Like YouTube videos and things. You couldn't be able to publish something immediately or go live when I was a kid. The only news stations did that. A lot of people love that live consumption because they can get, as a producer, you can get a lot of information out there live. And as a consumer, you can see a lot of stuff live, which is really exciting because it's happening right then as you're talking to that person. Then what makes content memorable and influential from a cognitive perspective is one is definitely stories. Okay. So your own personal stories interjected in there. I try to do that as much as possible with my podcast here. And I try to make sure that those stories are obviously relevant to the material that I'm talking about. You don't want to have a story if it's good, if it's not relative to the material, but you do want to connect with your reader. That's another psychological thing, is making your content memorable and influential, because you want to connect with your reader with stories. You want to connect with your reader through experiences, like maybe they've had a similar experience to you, with your struggles. Like, people love connecting with struggles. So if you have some struggles, definitely talk about that in your content. Next section, we're going to talk about strategic publishing plan. So you want to create content that aligns with the psychological principles of influence that we just talked about. And then choosing publishing formats based on audience psychology. Now, you always want to publish an ebook. If you're going to do one type of publication, publish it in ebook, because that's going to sell the most. Okay, you can publish it in paperback. You don't have to pay extra to publish in paperback and to publish an ebook on Amazon. You can also publish your ebook on Apple. There's other platforms you can publish on, like Goodreads, which I recommend to publish on as well. But you want to make sure that your content aligns with all of these principles we just talked about. Chooses publishing formats based on that. Okay, where are your people hanging out? Frequency and consistency. Find that sweet spot with the consistency. And beyond the metrics, what are those indicators of thought leadership? So, I mean, metrics is easy, right? So you look at your video count and see, oh, this video has gotten 500 views, or this video has gotten 10 views, right? You can see relative to your other videos, which ones are working. Same thing with podcasts. So on my Captivate, which is my podcast host, which I, if you're listening to this on audio, that's the one I go through. And I can see on my stats, which episodes are getting the most listens and how much these people are listening. You guys are listening to each episode, which is one of the reasons why I keep my episodes short, under half an hour. That's something to look at, is metrics. But how are people responding to your content, right? So what are the questions or comments that they're putting? That's part of the psychological aspect of it as well. So what are the comments they're talking about in your thought leadership? Are they saying good things? Are they saying constructive things? Are they saying negative things in the comments? Look at those and really think about what your followers are saying. So remember, we have discussed some key psychological principles. We've got some action steps for you guys. Make sure, if you have any questions, definitely reach out to me at writeforyou.me. I'd be happy to answer them. Okay, but before we completely wrap up today's episode, I want to invite you to join our magical circle of writers in the Publishing for Professionals community. If you're a professional on the journey to becoming a published author, this free community is going to be your creative sanctuary to connect with fellow writers who understand your publishing dreams, get invaluable self-publishing support, and access our treasure trove of free self-publishing videos. It's like having a supportive writing family right at your fingertips. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button, because if you are one of my first 100 community members, you're going to get a special gift. Now, the community has not launched yet. It's going to launch starting episode 16. But you want to hit the follow subscribe button now, because if you don't and you forget to listen to episode 16, you won't know how to get into my founder's circle of 100 people to get that free gift. And it's going to be a fabulous free gift. You're going to absolutely love it. And it's going to be, I'll give you a little hint, it's going to be something to do with self-publishing. So definitely make sure you hit that like, follow, and subscribe button. Leave a review while you're at it, so you can be one of my first 100 community members to get this special gift. Until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. Hey, my friend, thanks for joining me on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I hope this episode has equipped you with actionable strategies for your publishing journey. Remember, your expertise becomes truly valuable when it's transformed into a professionally published book that represents your unique brand. The insights we've covered today will hopefully give you another piece of your publishing blueprint. If you found today's discussion valuable, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you get the next episode dropped right into your podcast player. Each week, we tackle another essential aspect designed specifically for busy professionals like you. Remember to start the dream of writing your book today, because your strategies could be the missing piece in someone else's success puzzle tomorrow.
The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guest, and any affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional legal or financial advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guest are of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guest, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or action taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests from any liability.